Welcome to the Ace Files, exploring asexuality, the asexual spectrum, and ace issues. We are some members from Ace Toronto, a local community group of people on the asexual and or aromantic spectrum.
Hi, I'm Sam. I use she, her pronouns.
I'm Brianna. I also use she, her pronouns.
And I'm Ashley, and I also go by she, her pronouns. So for today's episode, we're going to be talking about dating and asexuality.
Yeah, a lot of questions that at least I find I get when I come out as asexual involve, you know, relationships and how do relationships work and do you date and do you have sex? I mean, it gets pretty personal, but that's beside the point. There's a question about, like, how do you date? So let's talk a little bit about how asexuals might date. You could be an asexual person dating another asexual person. However, this does not automatically mean you're compatible. It's like two lesbians aren't automatically compatible. It's very different.
So, of course, there are many different forms that dating could take. You could date without sex, and you could be dating an asexual who doesn't want to have sex and you don't want to have sex. You could also still be an asexual dating a Z-sexual. And so here, this brings to mind the importance of talking about compatibility.
Compatibility is important with most things in a relationship, and that's something you have to figure out. Something that comes up with asexuals is sexual compatibility, which is important in any romantic and sexual relationship. We're including romantic in this because often romantic relationships are assumed and expected to have sex involved. So if one member of the relationship desires sex more than the other because of attraction, orientation, or sex drive, that's something that needs to be discussed. This actually doesn't just happen with asexual relationships. Like, a lot of Z-sexual people have, like, different needs and, like, different sex drives. Like, some people, it's more important to them than others. And, like, even with things like kinks and stuff like that, like, there's a lot of things that this also crosses over to. But specifically with asexual people, it's very important to have a discussion about what you're comfortable with and what your boundaries are.
So no matter what kind of relationship you're in, but especially if you're in a relationship where there's one asexual person, one or more asexual and one or more Z-sexual person, there might need to be some compromises involved. So the important thing here is to be sure to be very careful and respectful with how you do it. Make sure you're keeping everybody's concerns and opinions and their comfort levels in mind. Like some examples of compromises you might go with are perhaps an open relationship where the Z-sexual person or the person who does desire sexual activity can get the, you know, get that fulfilled elsewhere outside of the relationship, or a polyamorous relationship where one partner who doesn't want to have sex is not pressured to have sex at all, and yet there's still sex on the other side of the poly relationship. You might go with some physically intimate acts or sexual related acts that are not actually intercourse, whatever that might be that you and your partners are comfortable with. You may decide to have sex on less frequent occasions, but still have sex every now and then, just as long as, again, everyone in the party is comfortable about the frequency. And maybe the Z-sexual person will decide to give up sex because they feel it's worth it for the relationship, or maybe they'll only masturbate and fulfill the sexual desires on their own, sexual drive on their own. There was a pamphlet that Avon actually gave out at the World Pride Parade, you know, printed out, looking all official and stuff, and it was about asexuals dating Z-sexuals, and the very first option on that pamphlet was for the asexuals to compromise and just have sex anyway. That should not be the first option. And everyone should be able to have the ability to decline anything at any time. This is all about consent. We're definitely going to be talking a lot more about consent later. And of course, there is a difference between compromising to have sex and compromising to not have sex, because one of the two requires consent, and it's not the not having sex.
And so we're going to talk about consent a lot in this episode, but right off the bat, we want to emphasize this idea of consent. It's very, very important that consent is always maintained in a relationship, and that's why these pamphlets are really disturbing, is because they make consent something that isn't really taken into consideration at all. So what we want to emphasize as well is that it's not always possible for these relationships to work. And of course, that's true of any relationships that we have in our lives. So it's okay to definitely not want sex. And it's okay if it turns out that that relationship then doesn't work out. It's okay to definitely want sex. It's okay. It's really important to talk and communicate when you're in a relationship of any kind to make sure that everyone is feeling fulfilled, to make sure that people are feeling that they're compatible. And what's really great is that when you communicate, for instance, you might realize that you might not be compatible with someone in a sexual or a romantic way, but you might realize that you are compatible in a different way that isn't sexual or isn't romantic and that you hadn't considered before. And this opens up all kinds of possibilities for a really fulfilling relationship, and you might approach relationships or that relationship in particular differently because of this. So that's why communication is really important for any kind of relationships that we're talking about.
So an ace person who desires romantic relationships may find themselves staying in relationships they otherwise wouldn't, because they feel lucky that someone would put up with them, especially if they're self-conscious or coming to terms with their identity. Some said sexual partners, unfortunately, will emotionally abuse the asexual partner by claiming this is true. And some said sexual partners may propose an ultimatum, sex or breakup. And some ice folks will agree to have sex in order not to break up. So it's important as an ace person to be aware that these are not acceptable behaviors, and it's really hard. Like, it's, I can see how it's very scary, but, making compromises, that make you unhappy and make you uncomfortable and upset, like, it's not sustainable in the long run. And if someone's guilting you into having sex, or you're guilting yourself into having sex, then that's not a good relationship and it's not healthy. So said sexual partners, like, if you're dating an ace person, you need to be aware of this and make sure you're not accidentally putting this pressure on them. And also realize, like, it's okay to break up with someone if you realize that sex is important to you and you need that in a relationship. That's fine. That's like something you realize about your relationship needs, but it's important not to use it as a way to try to convince someone to have sex with you. Like, you can't be like, have sex with me or I will break up with you, because that's very manipulative.
Something that sometimes comes up more frequently in relationships involving an asexual is the difference between romance and sex. Like, aces are just more likely to separate romantic feelings from sexual feelings, I find. In fact, conversations about the split attraction model, which we've spoken about in other episodes, came out of ace communities in the first place, some of them. And like, asexual people know this, but sometimes it's not always clear. But just because an asexual person doesn't want to have sex, it doesn't mean they don't have strong feelings for their partner. And that can include strong feelings of romantic attraction or love for their partner. Like, just because the sex isn't there or wanted doesn't mean that those other feelings aren't there. So one thing that is a useful tool I've heard shared around is, if you have trouble understanding the separation between sex and romance, and believe that it's hard or impossible to have a relationship where there's romance but no sex, then just think about the reverse. You sometimes hear about sexual relationships without romance, like friends with benefits or something like that, or one night stands or whatever you hear. And so this is just the opposite. It's the romance without the sex. They're two different things. And it just so happens that you can have the romance without the sex. I keep repeating that because it's true. You really can. It's possible. Yep. And so that's for relationships that do have romance in them. Of course, there are also all kinds of relationships, some of which may or may not have romance in them. I mean, some aces may be aro, some non-aro aces may also have other relationships, and all those feelings that they might have are definitely also strong and valid. It doesn't necessarily have to be love. Any of these strong feelings definitely can be present in a relationship, whether or not there is sex in that relationship.
What we're trying to emphasize is that you can have a very strong and important relationship that doesn't include sex and doesn't include romance either. Having sex without dating is another valid combination, and one that I think gets talked about more in mainstream society a lot more. And so this might be less likely to happen with asexual people, but that's not necessarily true. Some asexuals do enjoy sex and may not want the commitment of dating or relationships, as is true with many individuals who are not asexual as well. Aces have different feelings towards sex depending on the individual. So there are some aces who are sex favorable, and those are aces who are okay with the possibility of participating in sex and consenting to sex. There are sex repulsed aces, so those are aces who have no desire whatsoever to participate in sex or sexually charged interactions, and this can include but doesn't necessarily include conversations and media consumption. There are sex indifferent aces, so aces who don't feel particularly attached to the idea of having or not having sex, and this may or may not, they may or may not have different feelings towards sex on different days as well. And then there are sex positive aces who are okay in terms of ideological views. They're like comfortable with conversations and media consumption around sex, but may not want to have sex themselves or participate in sexually charged interactions themselves.
So a lot of people use sex positive as a synonym for sex favorable, but that gets a little bit confusing. So I prefer the term sex favorable, like when you're having that kind of discussion, because it's a lot clearer. Sex positive, there are a lot of aces who agree with the philosophy of sex positivity, but who don't personally want to have sex themselves. So sex positivity is more of like a philosophy and movement where you want to reduce the stigma about sex and promote like just healthy discussions about sex and sexuality and that kind of thing. You can be ace and still be for that kind of thing, but also be sex indifferent or like not be personally interested in that, having sex, but supportive of other people who do.
I literally learned that distinction like 40 minutes ago.
Yeah. So what I was going to say, just from my own personal experience, is that I am sex positive, but sex repulsed. So I am all for like promoting people embracing their sexualities and all for deconstructing ideas of sex as this taboo thing. But I myself don't want to partake in any kind of sexual interactions, any kind of intercourse. So that's kind of the distinction between sex positivity and then sex favorable asexuality.
And if you have an ace friend or like an ace partner and you're not sure about where they stand on this kind of thing, talk about it, because it can cover a lot of different things. Like some people are like don't personally want to have sex, but they're comfortable talking about sex and stuff and like consuming media with like sexual content, and other people that's uncomfortable for them. So just like if you're not sure about how like comfortable your friend is or your partner is with like a certain scenario, just like talk to them about it and be like, hey, is this cool?
Yeah, so definitely ask your asexual friend. I often hear stories about how, you know, the ace person will just be in the group of friends and the friends are talking like, blah, blah. Oh, I had sex the other night. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. You're here in the group. I won't say anything. And the ace was like, no, that's okay. It's okay. Whatever. I don't care. You talk about sex if I'm comfortable with it. Like, just ask first. Don't assume they're not comfortable with it. Don't assume they are comfortable with it. Especially don't start talking about something in very great detail if you haven't checked with them and make sure they're okay with it, because that could also be a bad situation. And in fact, there are quite a few acts, like intimate acts, that may or may not be sexual depending on the context, and some people might be comfortable with the acts in a non-sexual context but not if they become sexual, like holding hands or hugging or cuddling. Like a lot of these things, depending on very minute details that will vary from person to person, so it's important to communicate. Like, they may or may not be sexual or be perceived as sexual. And, like, you might give someone a hug, but they might always assume that that's going to be sexual, and they might not want that. So just make sure you ask first.
Yeah, I think a lot of it depends on personal dynamics. I think a lot of people have been in a situation, I feel like this is a common occurrence, where, like, you hug friends, and, like, that's awesome, and that's, like, totally fine, but then there's, like, that one guy who you don't know who's like, can I get a hug? And you do it because of social pressure. You don't have to, by the way. this is an awful technique, but it feels very uncomfortable because you don't know him, he's being weird, it's like more sexual than you want it to be. So yeah, like, it how something feels, even though it's like the same act physically, totally depends on the situation and the relationship and a lot of other factors.
So consent, the big consent topic. What is consent? What does it look like? What can it look like? Well, consent is the voluntary agreement to engage in defined activities, sexual or not, with another person or people. And consent has to be clear and explicit, period. No question.
Okay, what is it not? So if a person is coerced explicitly or implicitly through any means, then it is not consent. Consent, we've already said it, but it's important to say it again. It should never be assumed, even if someone has consented before. Consenting to one thing does not mean consenting to other things. Again, consenting in the past does not mean consenting in the present or future. Consenting does not mean that the person cannot change their mind, that is, withdraw consent before or during the act. And just because you're in a relationship with someone doesn't mean that you automatically have consent. And so I'm tired of hearing that. That absolutely doesn't mean that you have consent.
So other things play into consent as well. Compulsory sexuality and metanormativity also have a strong effect on how much people can consent to things.
There are certain expectations that get placed on different roles by society in compulsory sexuality and metanormativity. Things like, you know, if you're a partner or you have a partner, boyfriend, girlfriend, romantic partner, anything like that, you're going to have certain expectations placed on you, whether that's by your partner or by society, people outside your relationship. I mean, it's none of your business, for one thing. There are also, like, expectations of certain sexual acts. Like, you really have to ask, what counts as sex? Like, quote unquote, what is sex? I mean, we're using it in this episode in the context of whatever it needs to be in your relationship. So, like, if you're comfortable with sex, cool. But if you're comfortable with only, you know, certain sexual acts, that's also cool. Just make sure that's clear and all. There are going to be expectations about when you have sex. Like, when would you have sex for the first time in a significant relationship? How often do you have sex afterwards? Like, what kind of frequency can you expect? You know, I always hear the third date is when you have sex. I know, it's like, apparently it's just a thing. But no, that's just an expectation that's been placed on people in relationships or dating. It does not have to be true. You don't have to have sex. Just whatever. you'll also sometimes have expectations of a sexual relationship that does not include sex, especially depending on your age or if you're, for example, quote unquote, supposed to save sex until marriage. The relationship that you're in will be considered a sexual relationship, even though there's no sexual activity until you get married, and then immediately there will be sexual activity. So that's another expectation that happens quite a bit, that compulsory sexuality kind of places on us. And even during that period of the relationship, when there is no sexual activity, there might be other things like sexual feelings, or, you know, you expect that there are going to be sexual feelings or going to be, you know, hand-holding, which implies sex. How does that even work? They're hands.
So compulsory sexuality can undermine consent. For a lot of people, sex is a given. Like, you will have sex with people eventually. And a lot of people are like, you can't say no forever. Like, eventually you'll want to have sex with someone. So I think that puts a lot of pressure on people in relationships. And a lot of people are just sort of programmed to think this way, so even like they don't truly understand when, and if an ace person says like, I never want to have sex with you, they think that will change. And a lot of asexual people are told like, you will eventually want to have sex with them, like you will eventually get these feelings. So I feel like there's just all this pressure from like many different sides for you to have sex with your romantic partner eventually. So that all undermines consent, because there's all these outside forces, and a lot of people do end up having sex even though they don't actually want that. A lot of people also use sex as like a marker of a relationship being legitimate. So I don't know, for example, like some people are like, oh, you're not truly bisexual unless you slept with like men and women. But like, isn't like when you're like being investigated, like for like if your partner's from another country, like isn't there something like they sort of investigate your relationship, and your relationship being consummated is kind of like part of that, like to tell like if your relationship is like a real relationship, like the relationships are expected to be sexual and romantic,
at least in Canada. I believe that if you want to like, if you want to gain citizenship, one of the ways that you can gain citizenship is through being married to someone who has Canadian citizenship already. So there's like this compulsory sexuality there, where it's like there's the assumption that if you're married, you're going to be having sex. And so like that becomes one of the qualifications that you need then early enough to get this kind of citizenship. But there are also a lot of racial dynamics, and there's a lot of racism that gets tied up into compulsory sexuality and these ideologies as well. And that's important to mention, to bring up too. So we get into that in more detail in another episode. But since we are talking about compulsory sexuality right now, it's important to acknowledge that that is a very serious issue with regards to racism too. So how and why can consent be a difficult thing to give as an ace person?
Yeah, so sometimes a person in a relationship might feel that saying no just isn't an option. Like if they feel that they are being forced into a situation where they're going to say yes, or like they just are saying yes to avoid the negative outcome of saying no, whether that negative outcome is explicit or implied, that's like they're saying the word yes, but that's not actually consent. Like it's a breach of trust. It's a breach of the option for them to say no has been taken up by compulsory sexuality. Like it's just expected that you're going to say yes. And so you kind of lose the option of saying no, it feels like. Yeah, if personal boundaries are so like quote unquote strict compared to what the perhaps Zed sexual partner is used to from dating another Zed sexual person, the Zed sexual person might just keep saying like, yeah, can we have sex now? No. Can we have sex now? Can we have sex now? The asexual might just become exhausted saying no all the time. Like they've denied the consent, they've denied the request, and you need to stop asking. It just becomes exhausting, and they feel pressured more and more every time, and they might get more and more frustrated. And it can also create power dynamics in the relationship. Some people might even say yes and hide their asexuality as currency in exchange for keeping the romantic aspect of the relationship. So again, that's like compulsory sexuality. If you want a romantic relationship, you have to have sex in it, which is just not true.
I feel like for a lot of ace people, that especially if you're sex adverse or sex indifferent, like there's a lot of stigma surrounding being an adult person who does not want to have sex. And I think this ties into sex positivity a bit. I think true sex positivity, and in the form I agree with it, is to be accepting of all sexual activity, like that's, you know, safe, sane, and consensual, but it's also being accepting of any lack of interest in that as well. So just as it's important to take away the stigma of sleeping with multiple people, being more sexually liberal, it's also important to take away the stigma of not being interested in that. And I feel like a lot of people feel like they're being seen as immature or prudish or like really repressed or broken. And like, so they don't feel comfortable asserting their what they want and how they feel about sexuality because it's being labeled and shoved into these stereotypes. And like, sex is a great thing for a lot of people, but I think it's also important to, as a society, for us to recognize that it's not always a good thing. Sometimes it's boring, sometimes it's awful, and how people feel about it is valid, and how much someone has sex should not say anything about them other than how much they have sex.
Marginally related interlude. Like, I'm sex repulsed myself. I don't want to have sex. I often don't want to consume media with sex in it, and like, that's okay. So like, Game of Thrones is super popular, and I have no desire to watch it because I just know that there are so many sex scenes in it, and like, whether or not the sex scenes are consensual is another point of concern. But let's say all the sex scenes were like fine and consensual, I still don't want to be seeing that every week, and I don't want to be fast forwarding through all those scenes or hiding my eyes every time that happens. So like, if someone asks, oh, why don't you watch Game of Thrones, you love fantasy, I'm like, yeah, but I don't know, there's too much sex and violence for me. And they're like, oh, okay. And so just, I wish that that was acceptable as well, to be an adult who wants to consume media that's not aimed at like 14-year-olds, with nothing wrong with that. I still watch Danny Phantom. yes, I do. And still not want all the, you know, adult content like sex. Just a thought.
We were kind of wondering what it was like for a Z-sexual person dating an asexual and about offering some tips. Obviously, I can't speak from the positioning of a Z-sexual person. I can only speak from my own positioning as an ace person. And my own experiences in a relationship with someone who is Z-sexual. And again, I can't speak for that person, but I can contemplate kind of the relationship that we had and the experiences that we had and the discussions that we did have. And it seems that part of the reason why our relationship disintegrated was because of feelings of inadequacy, I would say, on both sides. I felt that I wasn't satisfying my partner because I didn't want to have sex, but then they would say to me that they felt like they weren't satisfying me, like maybe there was something that they, that I wasn't attracted to, which really wasn't the case. It was just that I'm asexual and sex repulsed and I didn't want to have sex. But so there was a lot of feeling of inadequacy, it seems, based off of the conversations that we had. And that ties into the idea that there were there was the feeling that there were needs that weren't being met, which might be another thing that occurs, another feeling that occurs in an ace-Z relationship. So again, we've said it multiple times in this episode, but it is really important to keep emphasizing it. Remember that sex is not the default in a romantic relationship. So your partner or partners does or do not owe you sex. In terms of in a relationship, sex is not a commodity, and it should not be assumed to be part of a relationship, including a romantic relationship. Onus should not be on an ace person to say that they're not having sex, but I can say from my own experience that, unfortunately, for me at least, it has been the case that it is an onus, which is something I think we're going to talk about during our roundtable discussion.
Some Z-sexual people might even actually feel ashamed of having an asexual partner, like, because they think about what other people outside the relationship might think looking in on it, and they might assume people will believe certain things about them, untrue things, obviously, about their own sexuality or sexual ability. Like, if they hear that the this Z-sexual person, let's say I'm Z-sexual, if I have an asexual partner, are people going to think I'm just bad at sex and turned them asexual? You know, there are a lot of things that can go through a person's head. And so that's one thing that might happen. It's Also important, though, for the Z-sexual person in a relationship to still try to satisfy the partner's other needs. Like, sexual needs are not the only thing, nor are they the most important thing that two people in a relationship need to be giving to one another. There's emotional support. There is, having their back during difficult times or big decisions, offering advice. You know, there are so many different aspects to a relationship. Just spending time with each other, like the need for companionship, that's important too. Just make sure that those are all being met as well for any partner in the relationship. But once again, sexual needs are not going to outweigh the other needs.
So right now we've been focusing on ace-Z relationships, but it's important to emphasize that, of course, these issues can come up in ace-ace relationships. They could come up in ace-demi relationships or ace-gray relationships. Of course, this is not to assume that they will. It's going to, of course, depend on the individuals in the relationships and on the particular relationships, but it is important to, of course, acknowledge that these issues are ones that are not necessarily exclusive to ace-Z relationships.
I'm sorry, I just thought of ace-ace baby. Okay, the earworm for everybody for today. So, here's a question. What's the difference between an adult ace romantic relationship and a childhood dating relationship that doesn't involve sex?
So, ace relationships, I don't, like, they aren't childish necessarily, like, just because you both don't want sex. That's not a marker of maturity. Sexuality isn't a marker of maturity. There's, I think, a lot more complicated relationship dynamics in an adult romantic relationship. And it depends on the person, but you have to navigate how you fit into each other's life together and different boundaries. And I think, I don't know, I'm assuming that romantic relationships as an adult are a lot stronger and more serious than they are as, like, when you're very young.
So sex can sometimes be less expected from children or early teens in relationships. And oftentimes, if those relationships don't involve sex or sexual contact even, there still might be sexual feelings and sexual, like, arousal, sexual desire, sexual, like, pseudo-sexual content, even if they're like 2 13-14 year olds. And that's going to look very different from a relationship with two adults who are both asexual, because there just isn't that sexual attraction. So that's an important distinction. Like, just because these two young people are not having sex, it doesn't mean they are having a relationship that's just like an adult sexless ace-ace relationship. However, keep in mind that the younger age groups might sometimes experience, as I'm sure we've all seen, more immature types of pressure from peers who are maybe not quite understanding. Not that this doesn't happen in adult peer groups, but I remember middle school, high school, it all felt very immature. There was pressure, there were stories, there was drama. And a lot of it was about sex. You even get, like, in the elementary school playground, kids asking, well, have you kissed yet? And, you know, for having crushes and whatever. And it's all very, even if, you know, there's no mention of sex yet, it can be very sexually charged.
Yeah, so this feels like a good topic to kind of have an open discussion about. And so that's what we're going to do now.
All right, so Ashley, it looks like it's just you and me for our roundtable discussion.
So a question that seems to be prominent that comes up again and again when we talk about this topic or we think about it, think through it, is when is a good time to disclose asexuality to a potential partner or date? And then in addition to that, is disclosure or coming out, to put it in a different way, is that important?
Basically, if you don't want to come out to somebody, you don't have to. What's important in a relationship, as we've said several times, is the sexual compatibility. And that means, like, the usually the activity that takes place, the behavior. So if you are asexual and want to have sex, if you don't want to say you're asexual, all you need to say is you want to have sex and, you know, clarify how much. If you're asexual and don't want to have sex, you all you need to say is that you don't want to have sex. There are plenty of people of any orientation who might or might not or might sometimes want to have sex. So that's really the important part about, you know, what you need to communicate with a partner. And then it's up to you how much you want to share with them at that point, along with every other aspect of your life. This is just one other aspect that you can share as much or as little as you are comfortable with.
Great. Yeah, I think I'm going to kind of repeat a lot of what was already said. You are under no obligation to come out. That is something that is a personal decision. If you want to, if you don't want to, then that is your decision and it's a very valid one. And so I've said it in other episodes, but under no obligation are you to come out. But I can answer this from a more personal kind of perspective, just to talk as an individual about my personal thoughts on this when I approach dating. And I think for me personally, it is something that I want to disclose because I feel like depending on the reaction of the other person or persons, that's going to say a lot about where I see myself in this relationship and whether I think it has a future for me and whether it's something that I continue to want to pursue. Because based off of their response, if I get a response that isn't supportive of my asexuality, then I know that it's not something that I want to keep pursuing. Since my asexuality is a really big part of my identity and something that I'm very open about and that I speak about a lot and do a lot of writing about, it's such a core part of my identity that that part of me needs to be accepted in any relationship that I'm in, whether it be a friendship or a romantic kind of relationship. And so it's something that I do feel is important to disclose right off the bat, because depending on how the person or persons reacts to my disclosing that, that says a lot to me about the future that I see with this person or people.
Yeah, that's a good thing to consider. I hadn't thought of that. Like, I don't have any dating experience ever, like, since I learned about asexuality. Like, I still felt a certain way, but I didn't realize there was a word for it. Didn't realize it was normal. So, yeah, for me personally, in my experience, I think that, you know, if I do ever end up dating somebody, now that I know I'm asexual, I would disclose it and come out, but probably not right away. Like, there's always, or at least the way I would prefer to date, there's always the getting to know you period. And so, you know, different parts about each other we're going to share throughout the getting to know you period. And if and when it becomes important to talk about sex and sexual activities, I would mention asexuality in conjunction with talking about what I am and am not comfortable with, because that's something that I feel is important to talk about anyway. All right, so I'm going to pose another question, which we've kind of covered, but maybe this could go into a bit more detail if we'd like to. Have you had any experience coming out to a current, previous, or potential partner? In that case, what did you do or say? How did your partner react? Did it affect your relationship at all, and how? So, yeah, Ashley, you look pretty, you look like you're ready to answer this one.
yeah, so I have had experience coming out to a previous partner and then also to someone who I was interested in romantically. So in terms of the previous partner, we'd been dating for multiple years. And when we first started dating, I didn't know about asexuality. It wasn't a orientation that I had heard about. And therefore, I didn't identify as asexual. But throughout the relationship, it became very clear to me that I didn't feel sexual attraction, that sex was something that I was adverse to in general, and that was not something that I actually wanted in a relationship. And then when I found out about asexuality and learned more about it and talked to people in the ace community where I was living at the time, I realized that that was the identity that I was, and I embraced it. And so I told this previous partner that I thought that I was asexual, and they basically laughed and said that that wasn't true, and that I was just scared. Shortly after that, our relationship ended. In all honesty, I ended it because, like I just said, it is a huge part of my identity. And as soon as I, you know, connected with the ace community and realized that I was asexual, that was something that I really did embrace. And I had been with this person for so long that really, you know, I wanted them to understand, and I wanted them to accept that part of me. And being laughed at and discredited for identifying as I am was, you know, that was something that I wasn't okay with. So the relationship ended shortly thereafter. And then last year, there was someone who I was romantically interested in, and they seemed to reciprocate. I don't know that for certain, because we never did really talk about that, but we seemed to have some kind of chemistry that was potentially romantic. And I didn't tell them that I was asexual, but one of my friends did, and I'm okay with that because, like I said, I'm very open about it. With largely everyone. So they just said it when we were having a casual conversation. And this person who I was romantically interested in just said, well, then you can't be in a relationship. You can't date. Like, if you're asexual, you can't date. And I tried to tell them about, you know, the stereotypes that the ace community faces, and kind of the oppressions and silences and erasures that we face, but they weren't going to hear it. So needless to say, after that experience, I didn't pursue any kind of relationship with them further, because to me, that it said a lot again about the fact that, like, I felt like my identity was not going to be accepted, and I felt like any interest that they may have had in dating me was kind of shut down right there, and that's what it felt like. And so I felt like it wasn't a relationship that was going to be worth pursuing. So those are my two kind of experiences with that.
Oh, that sucks. I'm sorry you had to deal with that. I don't really have anything to contribute to this part of the question, so I'm going to pose and then answer the second part, which I wrote because I can actually relate to it and contribute. So have you ever discussed expectations with a partner without disclosing your identity? For example, expressing a desire to save sex until marriage without mentioning asexuality. And was that the same or different? I know I only have the this one particular dating experience, and in this one, I eventually, like, we were both taking it pretty slow. I think within two or three months or so, we started, you know, it became a bit more serious, and I realized I really wanted to set the expectation out there that, you know, I wasn't comfortable with having sex, because I knew that at that point for sure. At the time, I was... like, what I was telling myself and what I believed was that I was saving sex till marriage for partly religious and also just kind of practical reasons, which, you know, is still kind of the case, but also just I've got a whole big other reason right now. So I mentioned that without giving any reasons in the discussion we had. I just said, you know, I'm not having sex until marriage. I tried to be very... just, you know, clear, not pose it as a question, just as this is what I'm like, this is how it is. This is what I'm comfortable with. At the time, my partner, then he said, okay, like, he was confused, but he said, okay. And it just kind of, it kind of dropped there. So I thought, okay, good, that's fine. But over the course of the relationship, it turned out he was not as okay as he had originally said. And I have a feeling that, as we discussed earlier in the episode, I think, he was trying to kind of placate me in order to not lose the relationship. Both of us were fairly inexperienced with relationships at this point. There were a lot of things that both of us could have done better, differently. You know, I think there was a lack of communication during that one discussion. I just assumed everything was fine as soon as he said okay. And, well, nope. But yes, it basically ended because it was clear that he was not okay with the lack of sex and sexual activity. Like, there was definitely some pressure to do things related to sex that were not explicitly sex, because I said explicitly no sex. So the interpretation was other things related to sex are okay. So that was not okay for me. So I did end it because at the time I realized that our sexual compatibility was well, not compatible. We had different things that we wanted out of a relationship. He wanted someone who would he would be able to have sex with, and I did not want that. So it just wasn't a compatible relationship. We ended it and moved on.
So for me, it was talking about, and this was before, again, before I identified as asexual, but I knew from the moment that I learned what blowjobs were, I knew I didn't want to give a blowjob. And then after having been in a relationship for a while, I realized that I didn't actually want to receive them either. I didn't enjoy receiving them. I didn't want to receive them. And then as, you know, I learned more about myself, I realized that I didn't want to partake in any kind of sexual activity, not just sexual intercourse, but anything that I associated with sex. So like any kind of oral sex, any kind of like fingering, anything like that. And so this is before I identified as asexual, but I did tell my partner at the time that I didn't want to do oral sex and I didn't want to do any kind of like hand jobs, anything like that, nor did I want to receive them. And that was something that was really difficult. It made the relationship difficult because they wanted that they wanted to receive and to give. And that was something that was important to them in a relationship. So I guess, yeah, our expectations then were different. And for a while, we were still compatible because there were other aspects of each other that like that worked really well, like emotionally, intellectually. We worked really well and we were very attracted to one another in those ways. But where I didn't want to have any kind of sexual activity, that was something that they did want and that they did really desire. And so in the end, the relationship, it didn't work out. But yeah, I guess that's the major, like the explicit, explicitly answering that question. That's the experience I've had. I think the other thing that I talk about with people, and this is not necessarily because I'm asexual. Of course, there are a lot of ace people who do want to have children, who do have children. So I'm only speaking for myself as an individual, but I don't want to have kids. And so that's something that I'm pretty open about, not only with potential romantic partners, but just with any kind of relationships I have in my life. Basically, everyone I'm in some sort of relationship with, friends, family, they know that I don't want to have kids. And again, that's something that I haven't wanted for a long time, that I kind of like coming to my ace identity helped me to kind of think about the reasons why I personally don't want to have kids. But of course, that's going to be different for every asexual individual, because there are many who do want kids and who do have them. But that's something that I talk about in terms of like expectations for the future when I talk to people that I'm in any kind of relationship with. I do think that it's absolutely possible to have a relationship as an ace with a Zed or allosexual person that is very positive. And when I say relationship, I should emphasize that I mean romantic or not romantic necessarily, but like intimate in some way where they are significant other to you in some way. However that feels and looks right for you. I do definitely think that's possible. I've been in relationships where for a long period of time, we didn't partake in any kind of sexual activity. And again, this is before I came out as ace, and I was with someone who was Zed, and we didn't partake in any kind of sexual activity. And we had a very positive relationship during that time because we were intimate in many other ways beyond sexual. We were intimate sensually, whatever that looked like for us, cuddling, holding hands. We were intimate emotionally, intellectually, mentally. So there are all kinds of different intimacies that you can have with someone beyond sexual, beyond romantic, that are very significant, that can be very, very special. And so I do absolutely think it's possible to have a very intimate kind of relationship with someone that can be lifelong if you're ace and they're Zed. But I can't, that is me just like imagining it and thinking through it from like the little time that I was in a relationship where we didn't have sex for a long period of time because I didn't want to. We didn't partake in any kind of sexual activity for a long period of time, and I didn't want to. And yeah, ultimately that relationship didn't work out in the end. But having kind of shared that together, I do think it's possible, but can't speak from my own experience really beyond just like that little moment. So we've talked a lot about some of the negative experiences that we have had as ace people in the world of dating, but there are definitely a lot of positives too that we don't want to undermine, that we don't want to not discuss about being ace and identifying as ace. So what are some positive aspects of being an ace in a relationship?
One that I can think of is the fact that after being, you know, being able to come to my ace identity and understanding what asexuality is all about, what my wants and desires are, and, you know, kind of having something behind them, that asexuality definition, it's really helped me become more confident as someone navigating the dating and potential dating area. And again, not to say that someone who is Z-sexual or less involved in an asexual community cannot have this, but this is something that I personally have gained from being involved in the community and learning about myself. Like, I'm definitely more comfortable placing my boundaries where I want them to be now. Like, I was, in previous experiences, I would, you know, state my boundaries, but still feel kind of guilty about it. Or I would, you know, it would just kind of, you know, sneak just a little bit past where I was comfortable with, and I just go with it anyway. And now I feel like I would be more confident stepping up and saying, no, I don't want to do this. Stop. And so that's something that I think I've become a lot more comfortable with.
Yeah, I think for me it's kind of similar. Like, and again, I'm just speaking from my own individual experience and individual reflections, and I haven't been in a relationship where I have identified as ace and been open about being ace as of yet. But I think about just how I navigate the world and how I envision relationships, and particularly how I envision future romantic relationships, or my rights and my needs and my desires in those kinds of relationships. And I think it's really realizing the right to say no and what consent really means. And that because like it's easy, like you were saying, to feel guilt. You know, it was easy for me to feel guilt before when I didn't understand my identity and didn't know about asexuality. It was easy to feel like it was wrong for me to like not be doing this or that. So I think I really now have a lot of confidence in my right to say no and my right to not consent to things. And that no, yeah, that's a word that I can use as often as I want, as often as I need, and I don't owe anyone anything. So that's huge. I think the other thing for me is just appreciating all of the different types of attraction, realizing that sexual attraction is not romantic attraction, is not sensual attraction, is not emotional attraction, and so on and so on. Yes, these different attractions sometimes get felt at the same time, but they don't necessarily. And it's just been so freeing for me to realize all the different attractions that are out there and to see the way that I navigate the world and the attractions that I do feel and the attractions that I don't, and to embrace that and celebrate that. That's been huge. And the other thing is just enjoying the other intimacies and really appreciating them, because before I, again, identified as ace and knew about asexuality, it was really easy for me to feel like things were insignificant if I wasn't in this relationship that felt like it was sexual, because of the way that, you know, society is very hypersexual, despite ironically also saying that sex is taboo. Now I'm just so aware of all of the intimate relationships that I have in my life that are not sexual and at this point not romantic either, but that are equally valid and equally special and equally important, and perhaps in many ways more valuable than any sexual or romantic relationships that I have had. So I really appreciate all of the intimacy that I have in my life that isn't sexual and that isn't romantic, because now I can acknowledge and embrace those intimacies.
Yeah, I definitely second that. And building on it, I feel like, again, this is being hypothetical because I have not had a dating experience since coming to my ace identity, but appreciating all the different facets of a relationship. So not just the sex, but say we're together and we could have a romantic relationship. We can, you know, do different things together, spend time together, support each other, you know, whatever we want to do, whatever looks right for us. And it doesn't necessarily have to have sex in there anywhere at all. Not to say that a relationship that contains a lot of sex or is mainly centered around sex is not valid, but that's not what I want. I would like to, or not to say either that you can have sex and can't do other things, but yes, I definitely like knowing that a relationship can, and for me should, consist of all the emotional and other kinds of support and activities that are outside of sex. Yeah, so I really like that. All right, so that section will have been edited out, but that was Ashley and me just saying, how do we answer this? Because the next question is, what have been your experiences with ace dating? Do you have any tips? And where do you meet potential ace dating partners? How do you ask out another ace person? We have no experience with this. So we are going to do our very best to provide some advice based on things we've heard, things we know about asexuality, and some ace people, and see what we can get out of it. Yeah, yes, some motivational stuff. Yeah.
So I guess we were talking about how, at least for me personally, coming into my ace identity and looking for ace communities, finding ace communities and connecting with many different ace people reminds me, you know, that there are many people out there who are like me, and we each have our own, you know, distinct identities, but yet we all identify as ace. And so there's, you know, there are other people out there, and not all of them are going to want to date, of course not, but there is so much potential for like meaningful community and meaningful relationships as an ace person. And I'm very lucky, you know, to be living here where there is an in-person ace community, a very big one, and then many university ones too that are now developing. So, you know, meeting people in real life and gaining friendships and sense of community through these in-person groups has been really motivating for me. And again, this doesn't necessarily directly relate to dating, but I think it's important to mention in this episode and in this roundtable too.
So yeah, we'll definitely be covering more ace community stuff in the community episode. How would you go about meeting some of these ace people who you would potentially like to date? Again, keep in mind that not every ace person you meet is going to want to date, and sorry, harsh but true, not all of them are going to want to date you. So just like true for anybody. However, if you do want to find a larger quantity of ace people for that, you know, larger sample size of potential partners, then there are sometimes in-person communities, there are online communities, there are online forums and blogs like Tumblr. You can find a lot of different ace blogs, some of which are meant for ace people to get together and meet each other and communicate. So there are lots of ways that you can find ace-centric communities online. There is also, I'm not sure how much traffic this gets, but there is an online asexual dating site, and it's called Acebook. It's like Facebook, but without the F. Huh? See that? Yeah. So that is specifically meant for dating and for asexuals looking for other asexual partners. I also know that OkCupid is an online dating site used by the wider community. And it has an option to like list your sexuality as asexuality, which is really cool. And I'm pretty sure they are free, or at least have some free aspect on their of the site. So that would be one other way that you can, you know, look for other asexual people or announce that you are asexual if you're comfortable doing so, and find someone who's compatible.
Alrighty. Well, thank you so much for joining us for this roundtable discussion, and we look forward to further roundtable discussions in our other episodes.
If you're looking for more information about anything we talked about today or about our local ACE community, check out our website at acetoronto.wordpress.com. That's acetoronto.wordpress.com.